Good afternoon. I'm Steve Goss on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's NPR station. It is 12 noon on Thursday, the 13th of February, and we are here again this morning to give you a special WABE News live update on the winter storm that's hit the region so far. It's been quite a week, as you don't need me to tell you that, but we appreciate your listening. We appreciate your input. Joining me once again is my colleague and the co-host of, or the host, I should say, of All Things Considered, Dennis O'Hare. Dennis, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Steve. And if you are just joining us, tuning in, expecting City Cafe, we are preempting it for this hour to bring you the latest on the storm and the response to it. And City Cafe will return tomorrow at its regular time of 12 noon. A lot going on in the next hour to catch you up on. Right now, just a few moments ago, Governor Nathan Deal and state emergency response officials huddled together, and they are shifting the state's focus in its response efforts from a statewide response, and particularly concentrating on Metro Atlanta, to Augusta. And the governor and state emergency response officials are headed to Augusta this afternoon to survey the damage from the latest wave of snow and ice. And WABE's Jonathan Shapiro has the latest on that from the state capitol.
At a morning meeting with agency heads and key emergency response personnel, Deal said forecasts predicting heavier ice and snow along the east I-20 corridor were right.
The bulk of the storm did move eastward, and it's hit the Augusta area very hard. Apparently it is more ice than anything else.
He said he, along with his emergency response team, will be heading over to Augusta to coordinate further action. In the meantime, Deal said state officials will be helping Georgia Power and other state utility companies restore power to the hundreds of thousands of residents currently without it.
People are providing support and assistance to them in making sure that areas are blocked off where power lines may be down and may be dangerous to the public, and also especially with debris removal, which is critical to be able to continue their work.
At least two weather-related deaths have been reported so far. Jonathan Shapiro, WABE News, the state capitol.
We've been in touch with the National Weather Service pretty much all this week, several times a day, and I think we're going to have to give them special birthday cards. We're on a first-name basis. Keith Stellman is a meteorologist. He's with us now. Good morning, or I should say good afternoon, Keith.
Yeah, good afternoon.
So let's start with last night, if we could. What was the range of snowfall amounts around the region? Can you give me an update on that?
We're actually compiling a big list now, and we've got some pretty high snow amounts totals. These are storm totals in the North Georgia Mountains. So anything north of, say, the I-20, I-85 corridor, generally ranging from 5 to 7. We saw some 6 to 7. The highest amount we've seen so far is 11 inches up in Ringgold, up in the far northwest part of northwest Georgia. Down in the metro area, it's generally in the 1-inch, maybe a 2-inch range.
Freezing rain and sleet was the real danger, I think, for many folks in the area. What parts of Metro Atlanta missed the snow but received freezing rain and sleet instead?
Okay. As you head south into the I-20 and then south and then east, so say Clayton County, Fayette County, Henry County, Rockdale, Newton, as you head south and east toward in that direction, that's where the ice totals start to really increase. And so within the Metro Atlanta area, at Clayton County, northern Fayette, southern Fulton, seem to take the biggest brunt of it, and then maybe parts of Henry.
Well, here we are midday on Thursday. The sun has been out off and on later this morning, which has been nice. Is the thaw pretty well underway now?
The thaw is underway, and in fact, if you step outside, it almost looks like it's raining. There's so much water falling out of the trees. But I do want to reiterate, this is probably the most dangerous time for those areas that do have the ice in the trees, because as that thaw is occurring, that ice is beginning to fall out of the trees, and so there's a danger of actually getting hit by this falling ice.
Which is something we can all watch for, but as far as the threat to power lines, has that been diminished now that things are thawing out, do you think?
It is for the areas with lower ice totals, but further east you go, where the ice totals get up to, say, half an inch in along the I-20 corridor, we're starting to see the winds pick up, and so there's a critical period here through about maybe 1 or 2 p.m., where there's still ice in the trees and the winds are picking up, that we could see potential surge in power outages in those areas where those trees are just barely hanging on and the wind comes in and knocks them down.
But the good news for wind, I understand, is it can help dry things out too.
Right, and that, yes, and that's also going to help speed up the drying process. But it only once we get past this initial problem phase. But then once that happens, yes, the drying out phase will be well underway at that point.
And the forecast for later today and tonight, what are we looking at?
Looking at temps generally in the 40s, low to mid-40s for most everybody, and with the winds coming in, sunshine by afternoon. We do go back a little below freezing overnight tonight with temperatures in the upper 20s to low 30s. In the metro Atlanta area, we're looking at about 7 hours at or below freezing overnight tonight, but then well up into the 50s by tomorrow.
Temperature 37 degrees right now, I understand, here in Atlanta, which is which is great. It's not,
yes.
It's not you know, tank top weather, but we're getting there, I guess. You know, I hate to mention it, but rumor is there is a possibility for snow, maybe Friday night somewhere in the state.
Yeah, and we're looking at an upper-level system and a cold front moving through late Friday night. It is going to pass through after dark Friday night into the overnight hours. The profiles for the atmospheric profiles suggest more rain down in the metro Atlanta area, but the higher elevations, say above, say 2,000 feet up north Georgia, we could see a lot of rain mixing in. And the higher you go, the more snow mixes in with the rain. So anywhere in that 2,000 to 3,000 foot range elevation, we could see some snow.
And if we get showers in the metro area tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening,
right,
that will pretty much get rid of the snow that's on the ground.
Whatever's left. And whatever's left from the thaw would be then, you know, erased with whatever rain we get tomorrow night.
All right. Well, that sounds like good news.
Yeah.
Keith Stellman is a meteorologist for the National Weather Service. Mr. Stellman, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Now joining us from Georgia Power, spokesman John Kraft. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Real quickly, before we even get to the numbers here, we heard a moment ago from Jonathan Shapiro at the state capitol that the emergency response in the state, while certainly it will continue in places where there are still experiencing problems, a big manpower shift is headed for Augusta, which was really hard hit. And I assume that's also true for Georgia Power. So how do you make the decision of how many forces to shift to an area like Augusta when you also have areas here that are still, like Clayton County and others, that still have some power outages?
Right. It's a very deliberative process we go through. The leadership team, as well with input from the field and with other sources, goes through this several times a day at least, reevaluating where things stand, where we're seeing the most problems, what kind of feedback we're getting from the field, and we'll shift resources accordingly.
Are you shifting resources now from Metro Atlanta to Augusta?
Well, I think we've been doing that, you know, moving crews from place to place all along. Because, for instance, I remember yesterday morning we realized there was going to be some impacts in the Augusta area, and moved some resources at that time down I-20, and had some great assistance from the state DOT and State Patrol, I believe, or police forces that helped us get some crews down I-20 through some icy patches. So, yes, we've realized from the forecast that East Georgia was going to get hit pretty good, as well as the Atlanta area and North Georgia. So we've been staging resources and then moving them as conditions change.
All right, so let's take a look at the big picture now. How where are we in terms of numbers of outages? How many have we had restored? And here in Metro Atlanta, where are the places that still need the most help?
Right, right. So the good news is we're now over 300,000 customers restored in the past, about 28 hours roughly, since yesterday morning is really when we saw the outages begin. So 307,000 customers have been restored. Unfortunately, we're still dealing with a little less than 240,000, maybe 239,000 customers out as of noon today. Now, these numbers go up and down. We'll make repairs. A limb will fall, a tree will fall just down the street, in some cases taking out the same line. We just heard a story of a crew working in Augusta yesterday, and they had spent an hour or so making repairs, and as they did, a tree came down, and it was back to the drawing board.
Yeah, we have heard some reports of some folks who went to the website or were told of the website saying that they were restored when they weren't. Is that have you had a lot of that?
Some of that. That sort of thing can happen with the magnitude of outages that we've seen in this storm. The number of individual damage cases now stands at about almost 2,500 individual cases of damage across the state. So there's just a lot of different events that we're having to get to. Early in a storm, we'll know when the power is out. Our crews will go out and make repairs, but say there was a little pocket of damage that may have occurred after the lights went out in a backyard or to a neighborhood within this broader area we've repaired, that may not have gotten registered, so to speak, in our system. So once power's back up, we've been telling people today, if you're still out, please give us another call. Call us back on our outage reporting line, 888-891-0938. Or you can do that online if you still have internet access, georgiapower.com/storm. And please register your outage again just to make sure it's still in the system.
Yeah, that was my next question, which is, do you want people to call you even though they might assume that you would know by now that they're out?
Right, yeah, and as I was trying to describe, that can happen at this stage in a storm. It's good practice to go ahead and give us another call. You don't have to call every hour necessarily, unless you want to check the status in case we've got an update on the status, which you can do on our website or on the phone line, but just to make sure we do have you in the system still. We'd hate to assume, you assume we know and we assume the repairs took care of it, but because of you were situated in a little pocket, we'd hate to miss somebody.
Just real quickly, we got just a couple of seconds here to wrap up. Where are you focusing now around Metro Atlanta?
Well, the south side of Metro Atlanta is where the ice totals seem to have been the highest. That was hard hit area. That was a hard hit area. It kind of went down I-20 through north central Georgia over to east Georgia, and so that's our focus now.
Any estimate on when folks might be back?
We're getting people back on. You know, every few minutes, every hour, we're making progress. We won't be finished today. Certainly with 239,000 customers still out, we certainly won't be finished today. But we hope to make a lot more progress.
John Kraft of Georgia Power, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check back with you.
Glad to be here. We appreciate everyone's patience as we work.
It's 12:12.
And with a focus on the south side, we're gonna go down there right now, if you will. Don Ash, a director with the Henry County Emergency Management Agency, is on the line. Mr. Ash, are you there?
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Great. Well, let's begin with power outages in Henry County. Can you give me an update of the situation there?
Yeah. Fortunately, we don't have as many power outages as some of the other areas. We did a couple calls this morning, one being with our great partnership with our EMCs in Georgia Power. And we determined probably roughly of over maybe 3,000 to 4,000 people throughout our county still have issues with power. And we know that their crews are in those areas.
3,000 to 4,000 people in the county, which is, as you say, relatively light compared to other parts of the south side. In Henry County, you felt the brunt of freezing rain and sleet mostly, rather than snow?
Absolutely. Freezing rain and sleet were our biggest challenges.
So how is the county responding to folks without power? What's the county providing, and what are you guys doing?
Well, we did open up a heating station, and anyone that were wanting to, we were getting them transported there, get them into an area where they could stay warm. And we've utilized that as our primary thing, as well as, some of our fire stations and county government offices were available.
And folks get a hold of you, I guess, via cell phone if they don't have power, right?
Absolutely. You know, as citizens would call us in addition to the power company, we were relaying those into our power companies as well.
Does the county make any effort to try and reach out to people, let me just say elderly folks who may not use a cell phone, to try and find people who are isolated, who have lost power?
Yeah, well, we rely on our senior services that work with Meals on Wheels and those programs, as well as, we found that a lot of family members were contacting us in reference to some of our elderly population.
And how about surface streets, the roads, the county roads in Henry County? What's the condition of those right now, as far as you know?
Well, I'm out driving. We would caution people, still, the longer you can wait to let crews and what the weather affect the roads, is better. Our roads are passable, but we do ask people to use extreme caution. And really, if you don't have to be out on the roadway, stay off of them.
During the storm over the last couple of days, has Henry County been able to coordinate with the state and other agencies?
Absolutely. Our Emergency Operations Center has been activated throughout the storm, giving us an opportunity to communicate with our stakeholders as well as our state partners and different agencies we interact with.
And if you had to characterize the difference between that coordination the last couple of days and what happened 2 weeks ago, what would you say?
Good opportunity, you know, to have those partners ready to go and good exchange with them. And as well as even we're getting ready to jump on our afternoon call with Georgia Emergency Management for all our counties. So those are good things that are, you know, proactive approaches to dealing with these types of situations.
And your advice for Henry County residents as a party?
The longer you allow the roads to do road crews to work them in weather, you know, the better the conditions. But if you must get out, please use extreme caution, you know, as you travel.
Don Ash is a director with the Henry County Emergency Management Agency. Mr. Ash, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, sir.
Staying on the south side, we move to Clayton County, which, as we've heard, was especially hard hit when it came to power. And also you have the tale of two roads, kind of, the main streets where it might be clear and the secondary and neighborhood streets, which might be another story. WABE's Michelle Alloy has been following the response efforts in Clayton County and other parts of the south side. Michelle?
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Pretty well. How are you? What do you have?
Well, I've been in touch with Georgia Power in regards to what's been going on in Clayton and South Fulton. Those seem to be the two hardest hit areas in the metro area. Currently, there's about 24,000 people in Clayton who are without power and about 20,000 in Fulton. And Georgia Power does say that the majority of those outages in Fulton are in the southern part of the county.
And as far as getting the response efforts out and getting folks to places, people who might really need to get to a warm place, how is that going?
Well, I spoke with Lieutenant Dennis Moore, who is in a Union City, which is in South Fulton. He said the significant number of the residents there were still without power. He said initially they had been using their fire stations in the city as warming stations for residents, but those fire stations lost power because of the storm. So in order to conserve energy at those stations, they've been working with the fire department to move the people who were at those warming spots to Fairburn County and other county stations, or Fairburn and other county stations, to get them to continue to have them be able to be at a warm place. I also spoke with people in Clayton County. They're still urging people to, if possible, stay in their homes. They said that the roads continue to be icy, continue to be just laden with debris, trees, down wires, and they still want people to stay there, though. If there are emergencies, they have a database of people that they've been checking in with who called in with non-emergency medical issues, and they said today they've started helping those people get in touch again with Georgia Power to address their outage issues.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, which would apply to a lot of places. If we were talking about the neighborhood streets as perhaps being an obstacle just because they haven't been plowed yet or the ice hasn't melted yet, but there could be obstacles and pretty dangerous ones as well if you're in an area where a lot of lines are down on those neighborhood streets.
And Clayton says that the people that I spoke with, Walter Barber, who's with Emergency Fire and Rescue Services, he said that there are a lot of downed wires, that Clayton County has a lot of areas with a lot of trees, that has caused a significant amount of problems. They say they do have some dedicated road crews who are out there, and they said about seven, just exclusively trying to clear these roads so emergency vehicles can get to these people, but that continues to be a problem in the county.
And obviously they may not know yet, but everybody's going to want to know, well, when will these roads be cleared? Did they have a goal for when they have everything cleaned up?
They did not have a goal, but they said the warmer temperatures today and the sun that's out is definitely going to help with efforts. And even Georgia Power said they intend to make significant progress in the area today with the aid of the warmer weather.
And the wind will help, too. Right now it's out of the west-northwest at 15 miles an hour with gusts to 25. So if it doesn't bring more power lines down, it'll help.
Yep.
Michelle Alloy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
So we've heard from Henry County. We've heard from about Clayton and South Fulton. We're going to stay on the south side and talk to Lisa George now about conditions in Fayette County. Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Fayette County really got hit with the power outages overnight, but I have been talking to the head of emergency management there, Chief Pete Nelms, and things are improving rapidly. But at one point in the past 24 hours, some 44% of Fayette County residents were without power.
Wow, that is incredible. So they've been the victim again of what has appeared to have afflicted the south side during this storm, sleet and freezing rain rather than snowfall.
Exactly.
Well, what is the prognosis for Fayette County? Do they have an estimate of when they hope to get everything back online down there?
Well, they have crews working not only from Georgia Power, but also from Coweta Fayette EMC, which serves a large part of the county. And right now, between those two utilities, they have about 8,300 customers without power. But the good news is that all the roads in Fayette County are clear. So it's just a matter of the power crews being able to get to where they need to get and do their job.
And for those who have lost power in Fayette County, what has the county provided in the way of shelters or warming centers?
They have a shelter at Fayette Middle School, and as of a couple of hours ago, they had almost 30 people there, a few of them from Clayton County, but most of them from Fayette County.
And storm-related accidents on the roads, have you found out any information on that?
You know, in the past 24 hours, or not these 24 hours, but the period 8 a.m. yesterday till 8 a.m. today, Chief Nelms told me that they had 126 calls, and that's for things related to the storm, trees down and wires down. But fortunately, they've had no serious injuries, no major medical issues that couldn't be dealt with. And Chief Nelms says they did a whole lot of preparation ahead of this storm. He reacted the same way many of us did earlier in the week when the National Weather Service started using words like epic and catastrophic. Well, Chief Nelms says that he and all of the first responders and anyone to do with public safety in Fayette County really listened and really prepared, and they're quite proud of themselves. They've done with this, they've dealt with this well, and I think they should be.
Lisa George, with information about Fayette County on the south side of Atlanta. Lisa, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And we have more now on how folks are able to get around. One of the alternate ways, of course, is MARTA. MARTA suspended train service at 11:30 last night because of some weather-related issues, and they resumed rail service at 8 o'clock this morning. Now, they're not back on a regular weekday schedule yet. They're running trains at 20-minute intervals compared to the normal 10-minute intervals. And they're running shuttle service on the Red Line between Lindbergh and North Springs. That means if you're traveling south to the airport on that Red Line, you might have to transfer at Lindbergh for a Gold Line train. We'll be back with more in just a moment. A talk with Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed coming up in just seconds on 90.1 WABE. With Steve Goss, I'm Dennis O'Hare. It's 1223.
Support for WABE comes from Shoemate Heating and Air Conditioning, serving Metro Atlanta for over 30 years. When it's too cold to wait, Shoemate. And from WellStar, a proud new member of the Mayo Clinic Care Network. As a member, WellStar specialists can consult with Mayo on complex cases while keeping patient care here at home. More information at wellstar.org/mayo.
It's 1224 at 90.1 WABE, streaming live at WABE.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at WABE News. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Joining me, Steve Goss, the host of Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. And right now we're joined by Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed. Mr. Mayor, welcome.
Good morning, Dennis.
Just give us a quick update. I think a lot of people would want to know, especially some of the major roadways are looking pretty good, but you still have the neighborhood streets and the secondary roads that are probably the biggest challenge right now. How is that going?
It's going reasonably well. Obviously, we focused on the major thoroughfares, which are called our priority one roads first, including hospitals, fire stations, and police precincts. We've now moved to the secondary routes. So folks who are in neighborhoods should start seeing our trucks shortly. But obviously, we had to focus on the priority one routes first. The big issue right now is just making sure that we partner with Georgia Power to keep folks' power on. Obviously, that's the bigger threat right now.
In terms of the secondary street, I'll get to the power in just a second, but in terms of the secondary streets, is there a sort of triage list, I guess, since there are so many more of those than the main roads? How do you decide where to go first?
We decide based upon the volume of traffic that comes through them. We have a detailed plan for the secondary streets. It's really phased. It starts with the Tier 1 streets and then Tier 2 and then Tier 3. So we're in the Tier 2 space now. We've got about 120 pieces of equipment that are currently deployed. It's about an even balance between snow spreaders and plows. So all of those individuals have been working 12-hour shifts. We have deployed more than 3,000 tons of the salt and sand. And so right now we are restocking our supply so we can be prepared to run all day and through all night. Our sense is that by tomorrow we should be through this, and then we should have warming temperatures that will allow the rest to melt away.
Quick example, just for folks who were wondering what Tier 1 and Tier 2 might be. Let's say Peachtree is obviously a Tier 1 street.
Sure.
What would be an example of a Tier 2 and Tier 3?
We've got somewhere between 70 to 90 bridges that have to be covered because bridges respond to cold and ice differently, so obviously there are priorities. We certainly work hard to cover the areas around our exits, but Peachtree Street, Piedmont Road, ML King, Memorial Drive, the traditional streets, Ponce de Leon, the traditional major arteries that people know and use in the city of Atlanta, Peachtree Road, West Basis Ferry, all of those corridors, Bankhead, the Joseph E. Boone now, all of those would be Tier 1.
Yeah, and so a Tier 2 might be Cheshire Bridge or something like that, maybe?
That's correct.
Okay. You mentioned the new supplies of salt, sand, and so forth. How is the budget holding up? Have you had to go beyond the winter budget for this?
To be honest, Dennis, I can't give you a calculation yet because we're in the midst of working through the challenge.
Oh, yeah, so I wasn't looking for a dollar figure. I was just saying, you know, hey, have we said, ooh, we're beyond where we thought we'd be?
Well, there's no question that we're going to run over the traditional budget for the winter. I mean, we obviously had the earlier winter event 2 weeks ago. We then had a bit of a false alarm, but we mobilized for that. And then now we're into our third significant winter event. So there's no question that we're going to significantly pass our budget. Fortunately, the city of Atlanta has about $135 million in our rainy day fund. And I certainly think that this would fall into the category of a rainy day event.
You mentioned the event 2 weeks ago. Obviously, folks are going to say, well, the response from the state, from the city, has been so much better this time. And what would you say to somebody who says, well, why didn't this happen the way it did now 2 weeks ago?
I would say that you learn from your experiences. And I would say if that was someone who was in the city of Atlanta, I would say that within 24 hours, we had 80% of our roads and major arterials in passable condition. So that would be my response. But I think you always learn, you get better. There's been greater coordination across the region and across the state with multiple governments. I think that the events two weeks ago certainly caused all of us to learn lessons. We made decisions around closing government, closing schools, closing and making recommendations to businesses to close much faster. I acknowledge that I believe that was a mistake during the first event, the way that everyone left basically at the same time. And I think that we certainly learned that lesson and tried to be far more proactive. So I'm human. Other folks are human. I believe that you get better with experience.
And real quickly, I don't imagine that this made you feel any better, but if you've been watching the reports from North Carolina and the research triangle where they had scenes very similar to what we saw 2 weeks ago. Did it give you any thoughts about how metropolitan areas in general, the challenges they face when things like this come up?
You know, I don't root for other people to have bad times. So I feel for the folks in North Carolina and the Research Triangle. But we're moving to a period in the future of the country where we're going to have what are called mega regions. It's not going to be one city, but it's going to be an entire region. So the city of Atlanta has between 400 and 450,000 residents, but we're the center of a 6 million person region. So we're going to have to start thinking about that in the future. I'm not spending much time thinking about that right now, candidly. I'm just concerned with reaching to Friday at about 5 o'clock p.m. and really avoiding people getting harmed and making sure that everybody gets through this process safely. That's really what I'm thinking about on a constant basis right now.
No, the
other noise, I'm just kind of drowning out.
Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed, Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check in with you again soon.
No, thank you for having me on your air, Dennis.
Appreciate it. It's 12:31.
Well, we've heard about the surface streets in Atlanta and a little bit more with the mayor and Dennis. Right now, we'd like to check in with the Georgia Department of Transportation. Kylene Barron is a spokesperson. Ms. Barron, are you there?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And how are you doing, I guess, is the question. You've been pretty busy, I would imagine.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of folks who've been committed to this event and doing the best they can, so we're all hanging in there trying to, as the mayor said, looking forward to tomorrow, Friday afternoon, Friday evening.
GDOT's focus is primarily the big arteries around Atlanta, the interstate highways. How are they faring right now? Are they passable for the most part?
Yes, our interstates, pretty much we have passable lanes on every interstate across the metro area. Our crews have been working since early this morning and throughout the night, for basically since Monday. But they've been really concentrating and focusing on trying to plow interstate lanes and get the passable lanes since last night. And so we've had some level of success with that.
I know yesterday the main focus, Natalie Dale told us, was, you know, to get two lanes on the interstates. Have you expanded that now on most of the big arteries?
Yeah. Our metro district started about 11 o'clock this morning at cleaning, basically plowing every lane on I-75 and I-85 from the Gwinnett and Cherokee County line, moving all the way down to Henry County. So people should be seeing our trucks out there. There's pretty much a convoy of about 6 or 7 trucks moving down the interstate and plowing every lane. We really are seeing, you know, an uptick of traffic that's out there, so we really caution people when they see those coming, they're going to be plowing. There's a lot of slush that's out there and it's moving, so please stay back and wait for those trucks to be able to get that slush off the roadway.
And where are the problem areas now?
Well, our challenges have been the interchanges and, you know, the bridges and overpasses. As you've heard, and I'm sure you guys are aware, there's icing from the lower temperatures last night. So we're doing some focus on that. And secondary routes. The mayor just talked about secondary routes. We have one of the areas in our metro district that has just basically begun focusing on major secondary routes within the city of Atlanta this morning.
Well, looking ahead to the future a little bit, you know, first of all, let me say 2 weeks ago, I recall shady areas of the interstates, those, you know, shaded by trees and so forth, were very slow to thaw, even for a couple of days after the event. How are you guys going to deal with that this time around, or is that just something you have to wait for the sun to melt?
Well, that's part of what we're trying to work through right now. With the temperatures going up a little bit, we're seeing some thawing. And I'm actually right here looking at some cameras right now that have our folks on the interstate pushing that slush off. So hopefully we can move off quite a bit of that slush and have less refreezing tonight, which will lead to less of the black ice. But we still caution there is going to be some of that out there because there's a lot of water and a lot of that slush that's out there right now.
Are there plans to retreat the roads later tonight after they refreeze or tomorrow morning?
Yes, I think the governor just mentioned the issue of us just being expeditious with the resources that we have, and so we're trying to push the stuff off the roadway first, and then we're going to look at retreating some areas later tonight to prepare for, you know, what might be coming in tonight. And that's going to basically be more in the northern areas, because that's what we're, the latest forecast is calling for snow really back in the northern high areas. But it might be rain that we're seeing tonight in the metro area.
And finally, trucks and big rigs. Earlier this week, the governor urged truckers to avoid the interstates in Atlanta. Is that request still in effect?
He just mentioned at his press conference that we're going to be seeing a lot of them coming back through now. The roads are certainly a lot better. We understand that, you know, they cooperated wonderfully and really have been patient with us with all of that. The major interstates are going to be looking a lot better. So we ask them to just really, if it's absolutely necessary, just be extremely cautious out there.
Kylene Barron is a spokesperson with the Georgia Department of Transportation. Ms. Barron, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Now we move to DeKalb County. DeKalb Interim CEO Lee May is with us. Mr. May, welcome.
Hello there. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you are too.
Good. Yes, we're doing good here in DeKalb County.
Let me pick up on that, because in talking to Carlene Barron and to Mayor Reed, obviously the focus is shifting a bit to the secondary roads, but are we seeing people in DeKalb County start to think, okay, this is completely over, I can just rush out now, I've got cabin fever, and is that causing any problems with the efforts to clear the secondary and the neighborhood streets?
Well, that is the tendency. People are seeing the sun melt down on the roads, and the roads are beginning to melt away. But we are encouraging people to stay indoors. Let's kind of hold throughout this day so that we can continue to clear the roads. And I think you're absolutely right. I'm starting to receive calls already asking us to come clear their interior roads and their subdivisions, et cetera. But our main priority is to continue to go through the major thoroughfares, those DeKalb County roads, so that we can keep them clear. And then we'll move beyond once we complete those tasks.
How is that going? I mean, what kinds of resources are you deploying to the secondary roads, and are you thinking that the main roads are pretty well clear at this point?
Well, the main roads are looking good, our public works, men and women in roads and drainage, they have a list that they circulate. They hit the main arterial thoroughfares first, and then they branch out to those minor arterial roads accordingly. So it's just it's a matter of scheduling as to when they get to those kind of secondary roads to begin to clear those. But the sun is doing quite a bit of the task for us. Of course, we don't have the personnel level to go into each interior road and subdivision, et cetera. But we're, again, our priority is always those major thoroughfares. We want to also get the roads that are leading into our school system, hopefully in preparation for school tomorrow. Once that ultimate decision is made, we want to make sure buses can get throughout our county accordingly.
Right. And obviously the school system hasn't made that decision yet. We've got calls into them as well. But how important will it be to know pretty quickly from them so that you can decide how to deploy your resources?
Well, it's critical. Over the past number of weeks, of course, we have built better protocols with our school district here in DeKalb so that we know in real time their decisions and kind of really even what's leading up to their ultimate decision regarding schools. There's a big question that we have to have answered, really. If the schools are out tomorrow, the parents are really going to be in the dilemma, because I think we're seeing some of the businesses looking to reopen, which means they'll have to have adequate staffing levels. And we're thinking creatively now how to address and assist the school system in dealing with the needs of the children on tomorrow.
It's catch 22, I guess, to some extent, because the school systems are going to want to know how the roads are, and you're going to want to know whether they're going to be open so you know which roads to attack first.
It gets... Absolutely. Well, the schools are still of high priority for us, so whether they're school or not tomorrow, we are still attacking those streets as if there will be school tomorrow.
Real quickly, just as a final thought, I'll ask you the same question I asked Mayor Reed a moment or so ago. Your budget for salt, sand, and road clearing resources, you may not know a dollar figure, but are you significantly over what you expected for this winter, and how will you try to make that up?
Well, having not looked at the bottom line, I would suggest that we are over. What we do know is that we have... close to depleting all of those our resources now in terms of the salt and sand. We have actually, prior to this storm, put in extra calls for a greater supply to come in. We're scheduled to receive those on Friday and Saturday because we know this winter season is not over, so we want to make sure that we're good. The good thing about the governor, even the president and the governor both declaring state of emergencies, we actually did that individually here in DeKalb County as well, is that there are opportunities for reimbursement for some of our expenses during these incidents of inclement weather, which will be definitely beneficial for us for our bottom line budget in those individual line items.
DeKalb County Interim CEO Lee May. Mr. May, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll check back with you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
It's 12:41, and you're listening to an ice storm special on 90.1 WABE, streaming live at WABE.org with Morning Edition host Steve Goss. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Right now, 39 degrees and partly cloudy. We'll be right back.
This report is a service of Mattress Firm. Support for WABE comes from the Carlos Museum, with Robert O'Mealy of Columbia University, curator of Romare Bearden, A Black Odyssey, presenting Love and Gender, Homer, Bearden, and Eros, February 18th, 7:30 p.m. More at carlos.emory.edu.
It is 12:43, and this is a WABE News special on the storm that has hit Atlanta this week. I'm Steve Goss, host of Morning Edition, joined this hour by my colleague Dennis O'Hare, the host of All Things Considered. Every weekday afternoon at 90.1 WABE, we've been talking to people around Atlanta in an official capacity and members of our staff to get an update on things on the south side here in Atlanta and throughout town. Right now, we want to go down to the south side once again. It's been said that the economic engine that drives this city is Atlanta Airport. Jim Burris is there, and Jim, I've got a question for you. How's the engine doing right now?
It's restarting. It's cranking, and I believe we're going to get somewhere with this engine.
Lots of cancellations, I would gather.
Yeah, it's not like yesterday when virtually every flight was canceled. A few did get out. Right now, it's about 50-50. When I got here a few hours ago, the airport really still kind of looked like a ghost town. There weren't a lot of passengers getting through. There just weren't a lot of people here. But in the past few hours, things have picked up. We've seen security lines increase. But I must tell you, Steve, something that is just surreal to me is I'm standing by the baggage claim in the south terminal. So if you fly Delta, you pick up your bags here, you know this is always a busy area. 9 baggage claim carousels, none moving.
That is amazing for midday on a Thursday. You know, this morning during Morning Edition, we give updates on conditions at the airport, and what struck me as odd this morning was that both the north checkpoint and the south main checkpoint were actually closed this morning. And the wait was like less than 10 minutes, so a lot less volume, obviously. In the last couple of days, you know, with all the cancellations, you're dealing with a lot of people at the airport who have no place to go because they can't get there. How has that been dealt with?
So airlines have really gotten responsive and changed the way they do things. Let me kind of give you a background. Maybe 10 years ago, they didn't do this. So they had their own forecasters, and they planned strategically for a storm like this. So when a storm is coming in, they will preemptively cancel flights well in advance of announcing this to passengers or the public. They will then move airplanes out into unaffected areas until the storm passes, and they quickly get those back in and get airport operations as normal as possible. So what does that mean? That means that if you're a passenger, you're going to get a text message, an email, some sort of communication saying your flight has been canceled and don't show up at the airport. And this works very well because right now in the atrium here at Hartsfield-Jackson, no one's sleeping on a cot. Everybody is, you know, just kind of relaxing and waiting to get on their flights. But I talked to people who said, you know, we got this text message. Don't show up at the airport. Your flight is canceled. So we didn't have to sleep overnight.
So in large part, then, it seems like Hartsfield-Jackson has avoided the days without end. You see these horror stories of other airports where I've been here for 3 days and I can't get my flight to Chicago. So that's pretty much been not the case this time around.
Right. Again, it's because the airlines preemptively canceled so many flights. Southwest AirTran, I heard, canceled all flights yesterday. Some are back, and, you know, that's a very long line at that ticket counter. Delta is starting to get back, I won't say to normal, but some operations are getting out and in today. But again, because they did this strategically, they minimized this kind of airport pandemonium that we've seen so many times before, especially in other cities.
Well, no airport operates in a vacuum, and as we speak, the Northeast is enjoying the winter weather we had yesterday and last night. Any ripple effect that you've seen at Hartsfield-Jackson because of that?
Only thing that I do see is a lot of cancellations on the flight board. So if you're going to Akron, if you're going to Providence, if you're going to Boston, anywhere, you know, D.C., there are lots of cancellations. It's hard to tell how much of that is residual, meaning leftover from yesterday and things getting back in order, and how much is related to the storm just moving up the East Coast. Whatever the reason, if you are flying out today and you haven't checked the airline to see how your flight's doing, if it's late or canceled, do so, because things are starting to pick up here, and nobody wants to be stuck at the airport.
Good advice from WABE's Jim Burris. Jim, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
The other economic engine is a little bit smaller scale. It's a lot of the small and medium-sized businesses in Metro Atlanta, and they obviously have to make decisions about whether to open, not only in the next day or so, but they had to decide during the storm. Is it worth it to be open to serve folks who might be wanting some of our services? WABE's Rose Scott has been looking into that. Rose, how are you?
Well, Dennis, I tell you, 24 hours, what a difference a day makes. You can hear in the background, there are so many cars on the roadway. I'm at Peachtree near Far Road, which is always very busy. And actually, this is the way it's supposed to be on a normal day in Atlanta at this intersection. Cars are moving, and there's still some business closures. I mean, the SunTrust Bank here is closed. There's a sign that says they will reopen tomorrow. The Publix supermarket down the street is open. Wells Fargo is also closed as well. So the McDonald's is closed. I've met some kids who were very disappointed they couldn't get a Happy Meal. But so many business owners that I saw that were out just sort of cleaning off their parking lots for tomorrow, they said the decision was that you don't want to jeopardize the safety of your employees. That comes first.
And that's a critical point because even though you might have customers that could walk into your store, your employees might live elsewhere and might not be able to.
And that was a decision that officials with the corporate head of Publix had to make. I talked to them this morning, and they said, you know, we did not make it a mandate for employees to come in. If they could get in, that would be great, but it was not a mandate. And again, safety was their number one concern.
Well, some of those stores, like the big supermarket chains, have pharmacies in them too, and the pharmacies themselves, some of both big and small, have to make that decision. So it's a little more complicated sometimes when some of your customers might need to pick up prescriptions or whatever.
Well, and at the Publix, right here at the Peach supermarket here, their pharmacy is open. I did also speak with another Publix who was not open yesterday and said, yeah, they took a lot of heat because people expected all of the Publix to be open, but it just depended on your location and whether or not you get a manager and whether or not you get employees in there.
And the big companies, say corporate, they allowed the locals to make that decision?
Absolutely. Now, for some of the smaller businesses here, and I've been walking around just trying to get a sense of whether or not they're going to open tomorrow, you see signs on the door that says call first or something that say we will definitely open tomorrow. But again, with this ice, although the ice and snow has been melting away, much like we just heard in Governor Deal's press conference, this stuff could freeze over again, so that things might change.
And one other big area of business that certainly, as more businesses open, they're going to need to go to the bank. And
well, absolutely. Like I just said a few minutes ago, the SunTrust, the Wells Fargo,
yeah,
the Bank of America, all along this stretch, they are closed.
Wow. And so that's going to be something that folks will have to contend with as well. And again, I guess branch managers will be making that decision on their own, probably in consultation with the bosses in other places, but certainly they'll have to make that call.
Absolutely, Dennis.
WABE's Rose Scott. Rose, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
Cold weather always poses extra hazards for the area's homeless population. Throw in some frozen precipitation, and it just gets more complicated. Michelle Wirth of our news staff is taking a look at that. Michelle, are you with us?
I am, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. So how are the homeless coping, I guess, is the best word I could say use?
Well, as far as I know, most of them have been coping well. That's what the homeless shelters tell me. The homeless shelters that I've spoken with say that they've been over capacity for the past few days. They say they've had to put out extra cots in places like hallways and in chapels. And in fact, one shelter that I spoke with said that they even had a number of men who had to sleep in chairs. And what's interesting in this cold weather is that those who are homeless are allowed to stay in shelters both day and night. Normally, they have to leave in the morning. So shelter staff and volunteers have been providing services around the clock.
And what about extra supplies that these shelters might need? If they're over capacity, how do they feed the folks who are staying there? And what do they do about getting extra blankets and things of that sort?
Well, those that I spoke with say that they've been running low on things like detergent to clean clothes. They need extra blankets. And some have had to provide hundreds of extra meals. And shelters say that this storm, the last storm, and just the number of cold weather nights this winter have really taxed them. In fact, they say that they're running low on resources, and they've been spending beyond what's budgeted.
Any word about families coming in seeking shelter in the city that you've come across?
Yes. One of the shelters I spoke with said that they've had more women and children actually coming in. One of them say that they've had, you know, dozens of extra women and children. And the women and children that were staying there previously actually had to stay in the same bed so that they could accommodate more people. So they've been seeing, you know, more families and just more men, just more of everybody coming in. In fact, one of the shelters that I spoke with, the Atlanta Mission, said that they were 130% over their normal capacity last night. And they say Tuesday was busy, but Wednesday by far was the busiest night that they saw. Other things that some of the other things that shelters told me, they say that, you know, they've been working with churches and a number of other agencies to actually use vans and proactively go out and seek the homeless in this weather because of how dangerous the conditions are. You know, the real fear is hypothermia. So they've gone places like under bridges, highways, and homeless encampments just trying to convince those living outdoors to come inside.
So there has been a coordinated effort among the shelters and other agencies to actually help the homeless in Atlanta then. That's good.
Yeah, they're all working together, and, you know, now that the weather's warming up, they say that they expect to see a drop-off again in the number of people needing their services, but they say just like everybody else, you know, that the homeless also get cabin fever, and they want to move around as well, so they're expecting, as the weather warms up, they're expecting things to go back to normal.
Which will help as far as the depleted resources are concerned. If the weather turns cold again, I've got to think that these shelters might be at risk for not having enough supplies and cots and blankets and things of that sort to help the people who need it.
Yeah, and they've definitely asked for the community support. You know, they say this has been a really difficult winter for them, and they're doing their best, but, you know, they can't. They can only do what they can do when they don't have those resources. And one of the interesting things that shelters told me today is that they say, you know, this storm versus the last storm, that there was just more awareness among the homeless. They say that, you know, this time they had people lining up earlier. Last time they said they saw large numbers of people coming in late night and early morning hours.
WABE's Michelle Wirth. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you, Steve.
It's 12:55, and a quick note from MARTA. Once again, they resumed rail service at 8 o'clock this morning, but trains are running at 20-minute intervals instead of the usual 10 for weekdays. And bus service and mobility, the paratransit service, has again been canceled for today. So right now, the rail is running at 20-minute intervals. WABE's Martha Dalton has been looking into some of the alternate housing that some folks had to seek because they were out of power or because something else had happened or they couldn't get home. Some Atlantans spent this storm in hotels. She is with us live now. Martha, how are you?
Right, Dennis, I'm doing fine.
What have you found in terms of why people ended up in places other than home?
Well, mainly it's power, right? So, you know, Metro Atlanta, the center of the city, didn't necessarily get hit the hardest in terms of power outages, but there were pockets of places that lost power. And one family I spoke with, you know, the mom said, you know, we did everything we could to prepare. We had blankets, we had water, we did, you know, everything. Her husband even works for the Weather Channel, so she said we were super prepared. But she said when it happens, you know, you realize you're faced with the possibility of staying in your cold, powerless house all night and all day and all night. So she said when it came down to it, you know, they just thought that the best idea was to stay in a hotel. She was a little worried about driving on the streets because they were pretty icy, but once they were able to work out transportation, she thought that staying in a hotel was the safest option.
And did you get an indication of whether a lot of other people were doing that?
Not an indication of whether a lot were. I think there were some houses in that pocket of town. She lives sort of in the Chastain Park area. Not every house in that area was out of power, but it seemed to be where, you know, a lot of the big trees are that fell on power lines. And so just certain, sort of like a checkerboard, certain houses were out and others weren't.
Wow, they could have had a neighborhood meeting right there in the hotel.
Right, exactly. And on the hotel side, you know, they said, I spoke to a spokesperson from one of the hotels there, and they said, you know, when they hear about weather like this, they kind of expect that a little bit. You know, when there's the threat or the risk of losing power, they expect people to inquire about rooms. So they're always making those preparations when they hear that a storm is coming.
WABE's Martha Dalton. Martha, thanks so much. And there are several of us who had to stay in hotels because we wanted to be close to the station. So we're looking forward to getting home, too.
Right.
Thanks so much. It's 12:58.
Let me pass this on. Blood donations are needed, as they always are, when we have a storm, anything that disrupts the normal routine. The American Red Cross reports that some blood collection operations are scheduled to resume today. Blood donation centers in Alpharetta, Athens, Duluth, and Marietta will be open until 7 o'clock this evening. The Midtown Atlanta Center will not be open due to safety concerns around the building. If you'd like more information, if you can get out, if you can make a donation, you're urged to call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make an appointment.
And we are looking at a forecast that's very encouraging for the rest of the day. Right now, it's 39 degrees under partly cloudy skies with a west-northwest wind at 15 miles an hour, gusting to 24, humidity of 73%, which isn't too surprising. Overnight, for the rest of the day, we'll see a high in the low 40s under partly sunny skies. And with the wind, that will help dry things up as well. Tonight, though, as Steve mentioned a moment ago, we'll probably see some refreezing. It'll be clear and cold tonight with a low in the upper 20s, so if you're traveling overnight, make sure you keep that in mind because you could suddenly hit icy patches. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of showers in the afternoon with a high in the upper 40s. And also, as Steve mentioned, that chance of flurries in the mountains. But for Saturday, sunny, high in the upper 40s. Checking Georgia Power right now, the latest update, about 217,000 customers now without power. And that is statewide, and of course some of the other utilities are still battling that as well, so that number is actually higher than the 217,000 customers. It's 1 o'clock, and this is 90.1 WABE Atlanta.
I'm Steve Goss, host of Morning Edition, joining Dennis O'Hare. You can tell you.
No, that's okay.
Our host of All Things Considered, we appreciate you joining us for this WABE News special on the storm that has hit Metro Atlanta this week.
Coming up at 1 o'clock, I believe, I've been told that City Cafe has been moved. Instead of being preempted, it is actually moving, so you can hear City Cafe in just a moment on 90.1 WABE Atlanta. And join us for continuing coverage of this storm beginning at 3 with NewsHour from the BBC and, of course, All Things Considered at 4. Charles Edwards has been running things at the board and producing. John Lawrence also producing. Our thanks to them. And we appreciate your joining us for this special on 90.1 WABE. Don't forget, you can check the closings and cancellations on our website, wabe.org.